Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow-wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Welcome to the latest edition of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. My name is Lauren Wood. And boys, footy is finally back. The countdown has been on for recent weeks. John Anderson, Scott Gullen and Michael Warner join me as they do each and every week. And Ando, it's finally here.
How are you, Loz? I heard a whisper. We'll be having more whispers from Scotty Gullen of the score fame later on. But the one Herald Sun journalist may have badly injured a back on Sunday, rendering the said journalist stuck to the kitchen floor for 3 hours before an ambulance was called. Any update on who that could be?
Look, there's been a few injury setbacks amid the football hiatus. We know that they're ramping up in training. I think in the 2 weeks of contact training as footy was going to start was always going to result in a few soft tissue injuries, as we had John Quinn on the podcast a few weeks ago. But yes, unfortunately, it wasn't too exciting an injury. Really, it's probably more embarrassing than anything else when a sneeze results in a ruptured disc at the age of about 30. Things are I'm safe to say that my AFLW career is on hold for the immediate term.
Wow. Ambulance, Lance. That's impressive.
Yeah, it was a setback, a debut, no less, but that's okay. We'll be fit and firing to join you at the footy on Friday night, Scotty, down at GMHBA.
Yes, I was there this morning, actually, and conditions are very good at the Cattery, and our good friend Jack Stephen was running around trying to get selected.
Is he going to play?
Oh, reading between the lines with Chris Scott, I'd say no. More from a conservative approach in that he was a bit behind at the start of the year, and while Scott said Stephen's in better shape now than he was in March, I just gut feel is I don't think they'll risk it.
And Mick, you've got the shortest wait of anyone for your team to play. Obviously, the Tigers restarting the season on Thursday night. No crowd, fake crowd noise, all the rest of it. But I imagine you'd be parked front and square in front of Fox Footy at come 7:30 Thursday night.
Well, I certainly will be watching it. And g'day, everyone. But round one didn't excite me that much, I've got to admit. But the talk today that the crowds are going to be coming back, that has actually engaged me for the first time in this reboot of the season. And there's talk, you know, in 5-6 weeks that we could have multiple thousands, 5,000 people. That's enough for me for a bit of atmosphere. Try and steal a ticket myself and get in. And if that's the case, and we've got this 17-round season, which I like the purity of very much. We did our crystal balls the other day where I picked Patrick Cripps to win the Brownlow. I reckon he's going to have a big year. But the 17 rounds, I love the purity of that. So all of a sudden, I've got a little bit of a pep in my step about the footy coming back.
Is the crowd notion a reality, Mick? Because obviously last night we had reports that there were going to be crowds at Metricon and the Gabba this weekend. And then the Queensland Premier's come out today and said that it won't be this weekend. So is there still kind of a little bit of, you know, political power play to happen?
Yeah, of course there is. But I think in 5 or 6 weeks, there will be crowds of some sort, whether it's Scotty in the corporate box down there at GMHBA or Ando at the MCG outer. There will be crowds. Late in the year, who knows, we might get a full house at the MCG because we've done really well in Australia, haven't we, to beat this virus or to hold it off compared to other parts of the world. So I just think footy without crowds is close to a waste of time, but this is great news.
Well, we'll get stuck into a few sort of pure footy matters. You mentioned the crystal ball there. So keen to check in with each of you a little bit later on how that's changed after the 10-week footy hiatus and whether your opinion of certain teams might have changed after their round one performance. We'll also catch up with Scotty's whisper. And looking forward to getting Ando's best of the best team, the St Kilda best team over the last 50 years. But, Scotty, the Hubs, it's back on the agenda firmly and squarely. Obviously, the Perth teams have headed to the Gold Coast this week, but there might be a few Vics heading their way.
Well, as I mentioned, I was at Geelong and we put it to Chris Scott and he was actually quite enthusiastic. He said, yeah, count us in if we've got to go to Southeast Queensland for a few weeks, tick. When we said it's more like Western Australia, he was like, oh, yeah, potentially. I mean, he's up for it. I think it was funny that, you know, when the Eagles arrived, their apartments were on fire, etc. But I think we're all a bit, the WA government haven't moved to this point. Is there going to be special dispensation in, you know, in a month's time for visiting teams? I think that's what the AFL desires. But Chris Scott said, yeah, if we get on the road for 3 or 4 weeks, we'd do it.
Well, Nathan Buckley was the same. I just jumped out of his press conference just before coming on here with you guys. And he was very much of the opinion that it's an investment, I think he called it, an investment in the future of the game. And every team's kind of got to carry their load. Because Mick, that sort of seemed to be the argument of the WA teams in South Australia, wasn't it? That they were kind of sticking their neck out, going into these hubs for God knows how long, and no one else was having to do much.
Yeah, it seems like the Eagles are only prepared to spend 4 weeks up in that hub, which not a huge amount of time, but they've been very strong. That, and there was a memo we saw from the AFLPA last week saying that. So if that's the case, get to round five, round six, you're going to have some teams maybe going into a hub in Perth. A
few other issues to cover off, Ando, just before we get stuck into the footy. The story of John Hay in the paper on the weekend with our colleague John Ralph. And it's prompted a review of the AFL illicit drug policy. What's your view on this, Ando? It's obviously based around education and welfare and all that sort of stuff, but it makes you wonder whether we should be naming players and whether the system actually works.
Yeah, the AFL put that in place with the best intentions. I get that. I accept that. But in terms of success overall as a code, I don't think it's been an abject failure. And I say that because someone like John Hay got through the system. And we know from John Ralph's article he had 2 strikes. But that's the case with a number of players. They never got 3 strikes. Ben Cousins got no strikes. I mean, and the West Coast Eagles, some of his teammates who were using drugs, got no strikes. I mean, it just is beyond comprehension. And I don't think overall that drug code has been successful. I reckon you would agree on that, Mick.
Well, Ando, you said set up with the best of intentions, but surely it was about brand protection as well, right back in the day when they brought it in. I'll give you the proof of that, because for years we used to go to the press conference at AFL House where they'd give us the statistics, no names, but they would say, you know, 70 players have had 1 strike, 20 have had 2 strikes, and none have had 3. Then they changed the strike policy from 3 strikes to 2 strikes. And since then, there's never been a player with a 3rd strike. So we were told for 20 years that, you know, X amount of players had 2 strikes, and suddenly no one's on 2 strikes. It's just not possible, if you know anyone who knows data, crunching the numbers. So it's just garbage. The whole thing is, and for him to say that he could walk into the club and help himself to sleeping pills, and as you say, Ben Cousins and Brock McLean last month, you know, the policy has been a sham from the start.
I'm not sure there's a great policy in place in world sport. You could argue that with athletics, which is your forte, Scotty, sometimes they get 4 years first up. I think it used to be 2 years in certain cases, and then it can be a life ban after that. But to me, I don't think they've ever been hard enough. So athletes anywhere, footballers, soccer players, tennis players, whatever, if you're out there and you knowingly cheat and you're a cyclist, weightlifter, doesn't matter, you've got to know that your career is virtually over. And that's the first time. And that's never been stringent enough. And people would say someone like Rioli, who's a really interesting case study, and I read all about him as year three have, I feel for Willie Rioli. He was naive. He panicked, no two ways about it. But unfortunately, that's the world he's playing in, the world he's living in. And it has to be a level playing field for everybody.
And yeah, but ASADA have changed the rules, Ando, on that. So in I think this year or next year, if you get caught with cocaine or something in match day, you'll only get 3 months. The 2-year whack or the 4-year whack for illicit drugs is over.
So no, I'm talking about performance enhancing. I'm talking about
but all of these guys who are on drugs in the AFL, they're using illicit drugs. They're not, as far as I can tell, using steroids, and
as we've discussed, Mick, steroids might have been used in a bygone era in the AFL, were used, particularly in the 80s, and people would be stunned, 80s and 90s, if I knew some of the names that used anabolic steroids in that period.
Mm.
But I'm not prepared to say them, but I'm too scared legally to name them. But some of the, I'm not at that discussion with you, Mick, and some of the biggest names in the code were using anabolic steroids in the 1980s.
Mm.
But with the code was sort of set up to try, don't tell anyone who it is, Mick, anonymity for the players, care for the players, but they weren't clearly helping these guys. These guys had issues and, they tested and they were let to continue. It didn't work.
That's the point, that you have full-blown drug addicts who aren't getting picked up. So if they say it's a health model, a medical model, it's an abject failure because they weren't, they weren't ever getting the help because they weren't having a positive strike. And like I said, when it went from 3 strikes to 2 and there's never been a 2, isn't that the proof that it's not about catching people out? And look, if it's about health and safety, just say that. Don't even have the strikes. Don't pretend it's about something else.
So how do we fix it then? If this is the period to, smash everything to pieces and put it back together again, what would work?
The NFL they have their own program where, if you're caught with marijuana, it's 3 months. They've got to, set little penalties that all the stars seem to fall into.
Yeah, 4 weeks, and they bang.
Yeah, 3 months, bang. So, you missed the first two
Scotty,
games.
They don't want to say, Smith, Collingwood, 4 weeks cocaine. They don't want to make that announcement, whereas in the NFL they're happy to say it.
Yeah, they do it. Player learns from it or deals with it, off they go. Everyone just moves on. It's transparent. The players know it's transparent, so do the fans.
You mentioned Jack Stephen before, Scotty. You were down at Geelong this morning. Bit of a weird one yesterday, wasn't it? When the statement from the AFL came out sort of mid-afternoon, matters closed, Victoria Police investigations closed. And then, Mick, the police came out on Monday night and said, no, things are well and truly ongoing here. So it's a bit of a strange one, isn't it?
Well, I'm going to handball this straight over to the top of Scotty. Well,
the difference is the police are more concerned with the person who stabbed Jack, whereas the AFL's more concerned with Jack being an AFL player of circumstances around how he found himself in that position. So he's explained the circumstances and they're happy with, obviously he's the victim, and they're happy with his explanation. Now, whether the police have other issues with the person who did the stabbing, that's not an AFL issue. So I think that's why Jack has got clearance from the integrity department to put his hand up to play.
Do you think we were owed a bit more of an explanation in the AFL statement, Scotty?
I don't, only because, it's a family issue.
Is it? I see that there. I didn't know.
That should have been clearly. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Personal nature, family issue, and everyone goes away, leaves it alone. All the rumours, we all heard them, everyone heard them, which why it became this hysteria for a couple of weeks about, what happened to Jack Stephen? Well, personal matter, family issue, thank you, go away. And it does, it takes the heat out of it.
Keeping a very close eye, as you say, you get the feeling he's unlikely to play. I think the teams for that game will be due out Thursday night. So we really are
back close
to
reality,
aren't we, when we're watching team announcements. So we'll we'll keep an eye on Jack for that one. But footy, grand final. We feel like we're talking about this each and every week.
It's on a Sunday now, Loss.
It could be on a Sunday. We've had Martin Pakula speak this morning on RSN. We've had Eddie McGuire on Triple M, of course, part of the COVID cabinet. And it's looking like if this WA hub has to happen, that if a bye week gets thrown into the mix, we could have this super weekend, Scotty, of Derby Day, Grand Final, Cup Day bonanza.
Well, I wouldn't be able to work because I wouldn't be recovering from Derby Day, so that rules me out. That's asking a lot of the sporting public of Melbourne to get themselves through. I get why they're throwing it up, and I'm a big, I think it'll be a night Grand Final, so I don't care what night they play it. It's the year to try stuff, so I'm all for it. It'll be a big weekend, though.
Couldn't agree more, Scotty. I reckon it's a great idea. Sunday night, Martin Bakula. I've seen a lot of sports ministers. Most of them have been duds, but Martin Pakula strikes me as making some pretty good decisions most of the time. He consumes things and seems to have very good judgment. I think Sunday night's absolutely perfect for the AFL Grand Final after Derby Day.
No, I think you're right, Ando. But what a novelty having a sports minister actually it takes an interest in sport.
That's something that we should try and catch on
around the country.
He single-handedly kept racing going, really. He is
a Carlton tragic, so you can sort of got that. You can sense that sort of sadness, but he's doing well, and I don't mind it. Sunday night, win the quaddy on Derby Day and roll into the Richmond Premiership. That sounds like a ripping weekend.
We might not see Mick for 3 weeks after that.
No, that'd be the end of him.
And the game is going to look pretty similar for the near future, isn't it, Mick? I read your story with interest regarding rules. Tell us about that.
Well, it sounds as though the AFL have gone cold turkey on ripping up the game. What did Eddie say last week? You said it before, rip it, break it, smack it, even though it's not broken, fix it. It sounds as though 2021, we're going to have the same rules as we had in 2019, which is absolutely music to my ears, Ando. No shortened quarters. No 16 aside, no starting positions at all, stoppages. Well, some of the ideas that have been thrown up, leaving the players on the ground at halftime. Eddie Maguire says we're the Netflix generation and we can't concentrate for more than 20 minutes and we can't expect people to go to the footy for more than an hour or 2 hours, whatever. But I'm thrilled to hear this, that they're going to leave the game alone.
The only thing I never understand is when we have our pre-season competition, whatever it's called each year, JLT Cup, is that the most recent version of it? Yeah, okay. Why we don't experiment more with these type of rules we talk about, which if you like 16 aside, if you want reduced interchange, whatever it is. I don't get that. Surely those games can be used for that so we can all see them.
Yeah, but I think it's the coaches' lobby saying, well, we need that game to prepare for round one rather than an experimental. The one rule that Jared Healy raised that I don't mind, even though I'm a staunch anti-rule changer, is the extending the chip kick from 15 metres to 20 or 25, even 30. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, it becomes subjective, doesn't it? It's up to an umpire to make that determination as to the length of the kick, which worries me a little bit. When you talk about coaches wanting to protect that pre-season comp so they're going to have a fair dinkum trial. Bugger coaches. Coaches are the ones who stuff their game anyway. Seriously, they're the ones who put all these people around the ball and they're coaching out of self-interest. I mean, take it out of their hands. Don't worry about the coaches. Worry about
the people that buggered footy, Ando, were the people that gave the coaches the four on the bench. They asked for it, but whoever said, yes, you can have them, that's the person that ruined football.
Well, Sheedy's one at four on the bench.
Yeah, well, I blame Sheedy then. But Sheedy didn't know at the time, okay? He was doing it for injury sake. I get that. But it was hijacked. What was it, Malthouse or others who went with this, had 140 rotations. He didn't know who was on who. That's, to me, where the cancer kicked in to football.
Wow.
I mean, in a football sense.
Well, I'm hearing none of that at the moment. It's like Christmas this week. Footy's back. Let's get on to round two. Ando, we've had a lot of time, as I said, to dissect round one. Who are you feeling like is under a hell of a lot of pressure going into this weekend? Is it the likes of Gold Coast, Western Bulldogs, maybe even Carlton?
Not Gold Coast, because there's no expectation of Gold Coast lot, so I don't think they're under any pressure whatsoever. They should be now in their ninth or tenth year, whatever it is, but they're allowed to meander on losing millions of dollars each year because the AFL will allow that. I would say Luke Beveridge and Footscray, the Western Bulldogs, are under pressure. Really disappointing against Collingwood in round one. they're a side I have great hopes for. I like the way they play footy. They move the ball pretty well, and if they need Aaron Norton and who else, Scotty up forward, Jack Bruce, and I'm missing someone else, Josh Shackey.
And
Tim English can go forward. They're the type that they're a side that could really excite, and I hope we see it this round because they were bitterly disappointing in round one.
Well, Melbourne not only was, is that.
If Melbourne loses to Carlton this week, that'll change things pretty quickly.
I was with some Melbourne supporters last night, and that's exactly what they said. If we lose to Carlton, Simon Goodwin, and that Melbourne supporters are running, they've been running out of patience since when did they win their last flag, 1964. So you can't blame them. But, Melbourne's a good call, definitely.
Well, what about just on the Blues, Ando? Patrick Cripps not only carries the burden of being the skipper, I noticed he even got Big Freeze duties on Monday in his Rampage outfit from AFLX, which may well be RIP in the new footy world. But he just carries so much for that team, doesn't he, Cripper?
And being incredibly loyal to that side. Patrick Cripps, like a lot of players, returned to his home state during isolation. And a byproduct of that was they reacquainted themselves with where they grew up, where they loved their childhood. So for his case, it might be 8 weeks back in country WA. With that, possibly, comes falling in love again with where you come from. Could that lead to the heartstrings being pulled back to your home state at some stage? Even though Patrick is co-captain of Carlton, and he's contracted until the end of next year, because I know he renegotiated a couple of years ago. My understanding is that his management has put recontract details on hold. They would love to get that done this year rather than it to become an issue next year, because obviously someone of Cripps' stature, he's in the best, I don't know, four or five players in the game. It'll be a talking point next year. So Carlton would love to put it to bed now. I don't think they're able to do that. And now, look, you can draw whatever conclusion you like, whether it's him potentially exploring a chance to go back to WA. Previously, as I said, he's been incredibly loyal to his club, but he does love Carlton. But he's a professional sports person who wants to see results. And if he can't see growth in Carlton, and that's why this next period, this year, these games ahead of us are so vitally important to what happens with him and a lot of other players.
Ando, did the person who told you that tell you that he put contract talks on hold with some level of concern that that could happen, or just as a statement of fact?
Oh, no, just a statement of fact. Draw your own conclusions from it, Nick. I asked the question, well, why would he do that? And then you're saying, well, perhaps he loved being home so much and just realised how much he missed it. But there'd be other players in the same bracket. And we forget how huge it is for these boys to go interstate and live away from their family in those young years. And people like Chris Judd and Patrick Dangerfield cop it for coming home, but they've done 6 or 7 years, those folks, in interstate. I actually admire them for what they did. And Patrick Cripps is in the same category.
But, Scotty, imagine Cripper in an Eagles jumper, Scotty.
Well, yeah, they'd fit him in the salary cap, Michael. That's not a problem, clearly. Tim Kelly, Patrick Cripps. Yeah, no Nick worries. Matt. Nick Matt, they all fit in. They're all playing for $200,000 each. Come on.
Especially if he wins the Brownlow this year. Could be even more.
Well, who's to say it's the Eagles? It could be Freo, couldn't it?
Well, Freo, yeah. They're
can't
going
see
up
it.
For it.
Can't see Fife it personally.
And Cripps.
No.
That's not a bad
That's incredible, isn't it? Hey,
the thing about Cripps, I've got sort of that Tambling, Franklin, Fiora, Pavlich, but Richmond did have pick 12 in the year Cripps went at 13, and they took Ben Lennon. Nothing against Ben, but Cripps and Dusty would have been quite handy as well.
What could have been? Just very quickly before we get to your whisper, Scotty, just keen to get your view very quickly, boys, on the Biffo at Adelaide training. What did you make of that, Scotty? You would have seen that at a few training sessions in your time.
Hardigan's got a good left hook, and he threw about 3 quick ones. Oh, look, I love this. This happens, and you can cue what the reaction is going to be. The footballers and the club people are like, oh, this is great to see. Yeah, this is really good. Shows their passion. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal, but I don't think you do it to someone you like. I know, the great Geelong and Hawthorn teams, there's been Blues at training. We get that. But this was a new kid,
Frampton. Yeah.
Probably only Hardikin might not be a fan of him. I thought it was funny, but I was just amused with the, it's good for football. I'm not sure it's good for football, but, well, they need a bit of something, Adelaide, because I don't know whether they're going to win many games.
What's the most famous one you three have seen in terms of a
Satanta.
Satanta.
Yeah, definitely with Clark. Yeah.
He got suspended, didn't he, in an intra-club match?
Yeah, why doesn't this guy get suspended then?
Exactly.
He's thrown one. So Satanta got a week. I mean, I suppose kicking's a little bit worse.
Well, a little bit of spice at least heading into round two. We know it's been a long hiatus at least.
But I was interested Nick Riewoldt said, well, you know, he doesn't really respect throwing them in inter-clubs because you know your teammates. He'd prefer you throw one in a...
I agree with that.
He's a good commentator, Nick Riewoldt, isn't he?
He has been good. Yeah, really.
I really like him. He's just straight to the point. There's no mucking around.
It's refreshing when you say what you think, isn't it?
As opposed to what
people want you to say.
Oh, very good. Well, we'll catch up with your whisper now, Scotty. Of course, there's so much to look forward to. Round two, Harley Bunnell, another one, potentially lining up for Melbourne. So we'll, of course, be all over the action from round two here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast next week. The Super Score rolls on, Scotty, and the favourite is our whisper. What have you got for us?
Well, I'm hearing that censorship is rife in one certain football club where a couple of people at the top end of the table might be a bit, not happy with some comments from fans on their website, so have taken to having it deleted. Anything unfavourable gets the flick, so... I don't know why these management types have got time on their hands to go through the comments. If we did, God, we'd never leave our home. But apparently there's a bit of censorship laws on the club website. They don't like any naughty sort of, you know, disappointment being aired towards these people's abilities.
Too much time on their hands, Mick.
If that's true, Scotty, I would say that is the first step to being sacked in 12 months' time.
Well,
if you are that insecure,
correct,
that you are starting to search
edit
footy
comments
forums for negativity, you're a Gonski. So I look forward to you telling us off air who that club is.
In my 4 or 5 years of score, Whisper hasn't been incorrect once, Michael. So take it to the
Has that team featured in the finals any time lately?
Not in a long time, and they've been more down the other end of the table.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Well, we might have to go to a very quick break to get Scotty to fill us in on that whisper. You're listening to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, Ando's Best of the Best of the Saints, coming up right after this.
Oh, when the Saints go marching in, oh, when the Saints go marching in.
Well, now, Ando, it is time to get your best of the best St Kilda team over the last 50 years, 1970 to 2020. You've worked your way through and you've ended up at Moorabbin this week. Start us in the back line.
Sadly, no premiership players in this 22 loss, obviously.
Oh, don't remind me.
Back pocket, Nathan Burke. Yeah, he could play on ball, obviously, which he did for the latter half of his career, but he was very good there when he started off. Danny Frawley stands out as fullback. I thought Danny Frawley wasn't the sort of dashing David Dench type player, but by God, he was effective in that role. Max Hutchison, I loved as a footballer, third tall in the back line. Trevor Barker, in a halfback flank, selects himself. Barry Lawrence was in the 70s, Tasmanian superstar Barry Lawrence. Brendan Goddard using the ball, beautiful guy, foot or decision making out of the back half. Wings, Nicky Windmar. Picks himself, one of the best. I think Johnny Locker says the best pass he ever played to. Lenny Hayes in the centre, Austin Jones in the other wing. Some would have Aussie, some wouldn't. I really like what Aussie could do. He could break up games with his pace and kicked it really well. Lee Montagne on half forward flank, Stuart Lowson half forward. Obviously, Nick Rewald played a lot of centre half forward, but Nick's running ability would enable him to play alongside Stuart and complement him. Stephen Milne on a forward pocket, obvious. Tony Lockett, obvious full forward. Fraser Gehrig, again, he could run, Fraser. So you're not getting too big with Fraser Gehrig in the side. Ruck, I was tossing up with either Carl Dittridge or Peter Everett. I went with Carl starting, Nick Dale Sander and Robert Harvey on balls. Greg Burns was a really hard-nosed centreman from Ballarat in the 1980s. He was as tough as teak. Spider Everett, Luke Ball. We didn't probably ever quite see the best of Luke Ball due to osteitis pubis when he was a kid. He got that in his first year or two at St Kilda and just lacked a bit of explosion after that, but he was still an incredibly good footballer. Jack Stephen, well, Jack's won four best and fairest, so that's got to count for something. And I hope he can continue that form at his new club. So that'll do it. You had Jasmine skipping her side loss.
Yes, Jasmine, she missed you last week. You weren't here with us last week, and she'd sent hers in a week early. Very, very similar, I must admit. Just looking across her back line, she's got Max Hudgeton, Danny Frawley, and Sam Fisher. She does admit that she is a big Sam Fisher man. But must say, very, very similar. Just a few sort of changes from sort of interchange to on the ground. She went with Spider in the ruck. Of course, Tony Lockett at full forward and Stephen Milne, Fraser Gehrig, identical with you there. So, as you say, unfortunately, it's not a team that's had a lot of premiership success, although unfortunate. But some great players in there nonetheless, a couple of Brownlow winners too.
Yeah, Sam Fisher, two best and fairest All-Australian. He could easily have slotted in and set up back. He was a bloody good footballer, Sam Fisher.
Yeah. Who have you got for us next week?
We were going to Sydney, South Melbourne.
Plugger might get another go there.
Tony will be. Tony will be there. Barry Hall will be in this one. He wasn't in the St Kilda one because he was promising a St Kilda rather than the great that he became up north.
Will he make the Footscray one? Probably not.
No, he doesn't quite get there, does he? No. He walks into the Sydney one.
Well, maybe one to add to Plugger Lockett's lengthy list of accolades as a dual BOTB inclusion for you, Ando. We'll look forward to getting your Sydney best of the best team over the last 50 years next week. But that's it, boys. It's time to go and play some footy. I'm sure you'll be all across all of the games from Thursday night right the way through to Sunday night footy, Mick. I know you don't love the Thursday night, so I'm going to leave it without asking.
Oh, no, Sunday, I do now because every day is the same now. I don't in ISO, so I can't just tell the difference between Thursday and Monday. So I'm happy it's starting on a Thursday. And just that team you read out there, Ando, brings me back to that famous sentence, if only the ball had set up for Milne.
Oh, let's not leave
life
on a negative.
Would have been
Mick.
So different. That's the greatest sliding door moment I can remember.
Yes, unfortunate. Now I'm just going to go and think about that for the next 3 hours. So thanks for that. We'll see you all at the footy over the weekend. We'll be all across it at heraldsun.com.au here on this very podcast next Tuesday and catching all the action on Fox Footy, of course. Enjoy the footy, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.